Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
From our highly secure, top secret video studio, also still available for your listening pleasure, this is the Spurs Insider. We are meeting again a week or two weeks into the regular season to talk about all things Spurs. I am your host, Mike Finger, joined by Jeff McDonald, Tom Orsborn, Nicholas Talbot, and we will start on the story that Tom Orsborn has owned for the past couple of weeks. It has been something that you are working on every day with your salmon mug that now the viewers can see. What is going on with Josh Primo, Tom Orsborn?
Well, we're kind of in a holding pattern right now. The lawsuit was filed by Hillary Cawthon last Thursday in Bexar County, civil suit. The Spurs have a time period. The Spurs and Josh Primo have a time period in which to answer that with a suit of their own. That's usually the next step in these situations, to answer the suit with a countersuit saying these claims are baseless, something along those lines. I have had signals that the parties are all talking and that there could be a meeting this week in which they get together I don't want to say mediation, but just trying to see where they go from here. So suffice it to say, they're in a holding pattern. And I guess the other development was the Bexar County Sheriff's Office announcing or confirming that they are investigating the allegations made by Hillary Cawthon against Josh Primo, the indecent exposure allegations. No word from Bexar County about where that stands. It's in the opening stages, they have interviewed Hillary Cawthon, but I do not know if they've reached out yet to Josh Primo to get his side.
You talked about the parties involved, and that remains kind of the unique aspect to this case as opposed to cases that people are familiar with involving other pro athletes, other pro teams, where generally it's like that an accusation is made, and then the team and the player on the other side of it. In this case, the Spurs have waived Josh Primo already. They haven't specified why. We've had confirmation that it is due to the repeated instances of indecent exposure.
But this isn't
alleged, right? This is that's a good responsible point there, Jeff McDonald. But we're talking about Hillary Cawthon, who is the accuser, the clinical psychologist who had been working for the Spurs for all of last year. You have the Spurs, who Dr. Cawthon said did not respond in a timely manner to her concerns. And then you have Josh Primo. So it's kind of a complicated case in that the Spurs aren't necessarily saying that Hillary Cawthon is not telling the truth about Josh Primo, but they are suggesting, as Greg Popovich suggested in a very forceful statement before last Friday's game against the Los Angeles Clippers, is that right? That anyone who has watched the Spurs over the years should know that something like this would be taken seriously. Mm-hmm. It's going to be tricky. The Spurs do have a reputation for doing things right. They've stood for causes, all those types of things. It's hard to make that argument, though, is because we've done great things in the past, you should know we did great things here. It's all going to have to play out.
Basically, Pop said, we're the Spurs, trust us.
Correct.
I think to sum it up in two sentences.
That's a fair summary. And a lot of people will feel that way, but I don't think the legal system will feel that way.
So. Right. It's fair for Pop to feel that way.
Right.
But you've got to prove it.
And to be clear, none of us have any reason to believe that Pop does not believe that.
Sure.
You know, and it's possible if we're going through all the permutations, all the different ways that this could play out. One way is Greg Popovich was not aware of the seriousness of those allegations, and this took him by surprise. That's a possibility. I'm not sure it's one of the top ones, but it is. So everything has to be considered. Like I said in the newspaper, we don't rush to convict anybody. We also don't rush to exonerate and say nobody could have done this. So this doesn't make for clickbaity podcast discussions here. Like, we're not causing any controversy here, but I think we've kind of covered the bases there.
And along those lines, there's been no indication that Dr. Kaufman is anything but a serious,
right,
ethical professional. There's nothing in her background that indicates that she makes baseless claims like this, that she has a history of it, would make a baseless claim. There's no history of her being litigious. And her peers and colleagues, the professional organization that she belongs to, speak very highly of her.
And I guess to cover the last base, Josh Primo still innocent until proven guilty. I mean, we don't know for sure that he did anything wrong. So, I mean, we need to just be clear about all that stuff. Again,
back to the Spurs release.
Exactly. Correct. We don't know that he did anything wrong, but the Spurs believe there was something there.
Correct. Correct.
Clearly.
And Josh Primo, notably, when he put out his first statement after his waiver, there was nothing in that statement that indicated he disagreed with the Spurs' decision to release him. So put all that together, still have a complicated situation that, as Tom mentioned earlier, is not likely to resolve itself before our next podcast.
We still don't know a lot for sure, so it's hard to really delve too deeply into it.
Correct. So that being said, not to minimize the seriousness of the allegation or anything like that, there's just not a whole lot else that we can overanalyze, and there's no smooth segue into this, but now we can get into the on-court stuff, which is why the viewers and listeners are here, about the basketball, about the local Cagers. And since we last met, I'm not sure if the hometown San Antonio Spurs have won a game. I might be missing one of them in there.
I think he might be correct.
Yeah.
It's 0-4.
So, but it did go from 5-2 to now 5-6 at the time of this recording in the secure location.
I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, man.
Is that something you're ready to go to Vegas and bet against? As
the Spurs making the playoffs?
Yes.
Well, let's be fair. Pop said they're not going to win the title.
That's true.
Which I am now on the record. I'm ready to bet against that.
Okay.
They are not going to win the championship.
Okay. You can probably bet $10,000 to win $1 on that on that bet.
Hey, a dollar's a dollar.
Hey, I think the odds went down from like 1,000 to 1 or 10,000 to 1 to like 500 to 1 or something like that.
The Vegas did move their lines.
The bet now is when will they win their next game? I guess
it's the schedule. Like, on the one hand, they haven't been getting just completely blown out, other than the Toronto game.
Other than
game.
The worst loss in the history of Greg Popovich's coaching career.
But when we were
been all right.
But when we were imagining what the season was going to be like, and I won't use the royal we. I'll just say when I was imagining what the season was going to be like, I thought it was going to be a lot more nights like at home against Charlotte and at home against Toronto than these games where they're staying in it. And they're not getting outclassed. They're not getting, and again, like, the caveat is they had the worst loss in the history of Greg Popovich. But they're hanging in there for the most part. And this team probably will still end up closer to the bottom than to even maybe the middle. Mm-hmm. But there are some pieces there that people can be encouraged about, I think.
Is it fair to say the loss to the Clippers comes with an asterisk? with that. With Devin being on the minutes restriction.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean,
Kawhi Leonard didn't play, did he?
That's true.
The worst loss in Greg Popovich history, I mean, they didn't play Keldon Johnson or Devin Vassell.
Right.
So they all come with caveats.
But all no teams are full strength these days.
Well, yeah, but.
Okay, so what's your opinion?
What's my opinion?
Yes. People are looking for opinions here. What is your opinion that Luis, our fine producer, is going to edit into a 30-second video soundbite, put out there on any social media network owned by rich people or poor people or just by the people? What is that 30-second soundbite that is going to be embraced, shared by all kinds of legitimate verified, blue-checked
I have people. One opinion that I hold like highest, like I'm never wavering from this opinion.
Okay, is this going to be viral?
Ketchup is gross.
Oh, gosh.
All things tomato-based are gross.
Yeah.
In your
There's your opinion. That's going to save social media in this country.
What my opinion about what? I don't even know what you're asking
opinion
me.
With what? Look at for the listeners online who cannot see it. We have a beautiful HD display board.
That names
this podcast and also includes the topic of discussion. Theoretically, Spurs insider, you are inside the locker room, inside the media room, covering the Spurs. What is your opinion?
Your question to me is, what is my opinion of the Spurs?
Yes,
this is why I feel like Greg Popovich in these like pregame interviews where people ask these nonsensical, general, broad questions that there's no way to answer. What's my opinion of the Spurs?
We were talking about the last five games about 2 minutes.
They're not good, Bob. Okay. They're not good.
Okay.
They play hard. They fight hard. But they're not good.
Okay. Okay. Video that. Like, clip that and put that out there. This is like in front of the HD board. Jeff McDonald says they're not good. People expect a certain degree of analysis, insight.
Why?
Because
why
it would says they? Spurs insider. You're an insider.
But how many of these have we done? 200?
A lot.
They should know by now.
I think we're up to like 138, 140.
They should know by now. We win a lot of games.
They should know by now.
There's a lot to watch here.
That's the growth of Devin.
The growth of Keldon Johnson, the flashes of Jeremy Sohan that we're seeing that are very promising.
So here's one interesting thing.
Tom is superior in every way to what you bring to this podcast.
I think we already knew that.
Yes.
He probably eats ketchup. So okay.
That's true. Not
weird. I love tomato.
Well, he likes tomato-based Italian dishes.
We need to do like a point counterpoint. On that topic.
Mayonnaise is gross. I'll go there.
Mayonnaise is gross too.
Okay. What were you going to say about Keldon Johnson and Devin Vassell?
I was going to say, he was mentioned, Jeremy. Have we decided if it's Sohan or Sohan? Because he pronounces it both ways as well.
I had heard when we were in Minnesota that Bill Land, friend of the podcast.
Yes.
There is on the Spurs notes, game notes that often have pronunciation guides for like opposing announcers. It says Sohan. So when you go to opposing arenas and you hear the PA announcer, like in Minnesota, Indiana, Denver, wherever, you will probably hear them say Jeremy Sohan. But Bill Land, friend of the podcast, said that he asked Jeremy Sohan himself and Jeremy Sohan said it's Sohan.
Okay, this is interesting now. This is interesting.
So Bill Land says, I'm going to go by what the guy wants to be called.
Okay, this is interesting.
But the notes say Sohan.
If we just say it with a British accent, does that solve the issue?
Right. That's what also.
So the reason I even thought it could be Sohan is I just heard him walking off a shoot around at I think it was Indiana or I guess it was Indiana. And he's just yelling, Jeremy Sohan. Now maybe he was making fun of the announcers announcing it.
Well,
I didn't ask him about it.
Now that I'm thinking about it, can you imagine a British person saying Sohan? Like that doesn't sound very British, does it?
Yeah, you're right.
Can anyone do a British
accent? So maybe,
accent?
Like, I don't want to impeach Bill Land's credibility.
But he's also Polish.
That's true.
And he was born in Oklahoma.
This is something for our next podcast.
So it might be Sohan.
Could be. It could be.
Anyway. The game against the Clippers, he had the one, like, putback dunk on top of Paul George that everyone remembers. But the part that was interesting to me is, like, Paul George was amazing that game. He scored 32. But every time the Spurs used Sochan Sohan to guard him, the Clippers did not like that matchup. They kept trying to get him off of Paul George, and that kind of said something to me.
Didn't Greg Popovich mention again Dennis Rodman light?
But everyone on this team is now compared to some Hall of Famer that Pop has coached. He's Dennis Rodman light. Trey Jones is a combination of Avery Johnson and Manu Ginobili. Jakob Poeltl is a combination of Tim Duncan and David Robinson. Which finally I asked Jakob about all this. And he says, yeah, if all that's true, we're going to win the championship. So that's, I thought it was a great answer.
It is. Along those lines of like, while I'm admitting the stuff I got wrong a month or two ago, the first of all, just the competitiveness, and that's not even, I knew they'd compete, but I knew they'd try hard, but they're staying in games against good teams. Like, that's a surprise.
Sometimes.
Maybe that won't last forever. Probably won't, but that's been a surprise so far. Trey Jones, I think I mentioned last podcast, like, there's something there. He's a usable point guard. He's a guy who on a good team probably could get productive minutes as a backup. Like, there's something. Last year, what got me is, what is his skill? What does he bring to the table? And when you're that small and you aren't a three-point shooter, can you really stick? He can stick. He can do some stuff.
Yeah. And part of it is he improved his shot and can at least he'll hit one or two here or there.
The other thing that I think we might have mentioned the last time we were in this videoed location was about, does Keldon Johnson have that next level? Like, I think I might have said something ridiculous, like, we sort of know who he is now. He's made big improvements from his rookie year to last year. Is he going to hit that sort of plateau where he just becomes a really solid role player? Like, it seems like there's another gear there. And it seems sort of, not to bring up a cursed name to Spurs fans, but it reminds you a little bit of Kawhi Leonard and just the way that year after year after year, he adds something new to his game and takes huge leaps. Is that unfair?
Do we think he's a much different player than he was last year? Or there's his usage is so much higher and he's just getting more opportunity.
That's fair.
Like, I don't know what skill he's doing differently this year that he was doing.
I think his shooting is a little bit better. He shot
He shot 40% from three last year almost. Like, it's not like this is a surprise that he's hitting.
Being able to get them off is, you know, a skill in the NBA. So there's that. But usage rate, I mean, sometimes you go up on usage rate and you start clanking them off the boards because you're just not taking
He's kept the same efficiency with a higher usage rate. That's the one thing.
Part of it might be, again, in my head, I believe he started slow from three last year.
Yeah, that's true.
And then when he started hitting them, I just kind of looked at it with a skeptical eye.
You waited for it to come down back to earth.
I was waiting for it to come down, and I guess it never really did. Like you said, his percentage was good as a whole last year. But now it's starting to seem legitimate.
It's a surprise when he misses.
It's a surprise when he misses, yeah.
And I would say the same for Vassell. I mean, he started this year 0-for-8 in the first game, and since then he's not been missing anything. Like, those two really look like pieces that can be a part of something going forward.
And again, neither probably will be the number one player.
You want them to be your two and three kind of guys.
Are they, when you look at teams that win the title that have, you know, kind of the super team type of deal, do you think that, and it depends on who the number one is, obviously, how good is the number one? But with a clear cut, let's say with like a player of Nikola Jokic's stature, who's been MVP-ish type of person. If you put Devin Vassell and Keldon Johnson around him as his two and three, does that compare to, let's say, a Jamal Murray and who's their third? Michael Porter Jr., somebody like that?
That's hard for me to say because I just watched that team, those three players in particular from the Nuggets just annihilate the Spurs two games in a row.
Right.
So that's hard for me to – there's probably some recency bias there.
Sure.
But, yeah. And so I don't know.
Yeah. But I mean, you also, Jokic is the difference in that situation.
Yes, yes.
There's one team has a star, the other.
Yes.
Like, I think the question is, and I guess the other factor to add to this is Denver hasn't yet competed for a title
right.
with that great player.
Right.
So if you just use Jokic as an example of a franchise player that every team needs, like Jamal Murray and Michael Porter haven't been enough.
Yeah.
Wood, Keldon Johnson,
Murray's
and Devin
been out
DeSalle
for a year and a half. Like they haven't really had all their pieces either.
Right.
But there are questions about the Nuggets, sure.
Yeah. Last time we talked from various secure locations without the video, without the beautiful board here, I had asked about the possibility that this team could hang around into the new year, still kind of competing.
I mean, they're not the Jazz for crying out loud.
The Utah Jazz leading the Western Conference.
Yes, they are.
9-3 right now. It's impressive. Like
Will Hardy is coach of the year right now.
Former Spurs video coordinator.
Give him the trophy.
Yes. Or should he be fired? To use your joke from last week. The Jazz were trying to tank or the front office was thinking about tanking.
They kind of
they could still work that out.
They got a big leap from Laurie. That's really helped them.
Yeah. Anyway, how do you see this going? The next couple of games after this podcast are against the Memphis Grizzlies and Milwaukee Bucks, who are two pretty good teams.
And then they have Golden State.
Then it's a long road trip. Like, could this all start going the tanking way? I shouldn't use the word tanking.
No.
Could it all go the way we thought it was going to go over these next few games, or is there still that chance of them?
I mean, they could mess around and win a game there somewhere that you don't see coming. We were maybe Golden State the way the Warriors are playing. I'm kind of joking a little, but
if they lose those next three games, they're 5-9. But after that, there is a winnable stretch even on the road. They got a Sacramento.
I mean,
Portland might be winnable. There's a couple of games in there they can win, but I think you're more on the trajectory for where you thought they would be than after they get.
I think
this
they
trip.
Have three games against three the Lakers
games
this month.
The Lakers,
yeah, three games against the Lakers.
Who would have thought you'd just be laying up waiting for LeBron to feast on LeBron's team?
They've been a little bit better after they moved Westbrook to the bench, though, but not like world beaters, obviously.
Yeah.
They've won a game. So
your local Cagers will figure out a win or two in there. But yeah, they're going to lose. I mean, we knew that coming in the season, they're going to lose a lot more than they were going to win. And that's where we're.
Yeah, I was counting. I was just going through the schedule, and I think I counted them up to like 30, 31 wins, which is better
to take.
So I was just giving them the Sacramentos and whatnot and teams that might be playing better. Obviously, things can change on that. But, I think the over-under this begin the season was 22.5. And if they get to 30.
30 is quite an achievement.
It would be quite an achievement.
Yeah, I'm not disputing your. I'm just saying that.
That's where I got to. I got to 30, and I was like, "Oh, that's more than I thought." But I was giving them a lot of Lakers games. So
that's coach of the year consideration.
How many games are going to win after the trade deadline, though?
Well, that I was obviously counting on that. That could really change that scenario and take it all the way down to the 20s. If you lose Josh Richardson, if you lose Doug McDermott, if you use Jakob, obviously you're not going to win a lot of games after that.
There's still no reason to think that Poeltl will stay around past the.
I mean, who knows?
The trade deadline.
The way he's playing, you should be able to get a nice pick for him. I mean, I think you can get if you got a first round pick for Thaddeus Young, you can get a first round pick for Jakob Poeltl. Someone's going to be desperate.
All in all, they've been fun to watch. They play hard, as Mike Finger said. The crowds have been into it. The attendance hasn't been too terribly bad. So it's been a success this first third of the season.
I think like the, what day is this? Yeah, Tuesday?
Albeit one very shocking personnel move.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not to like harp on the Primo stuff, but do you guys think that moving forward, building a basketball team, is that Primo news going to have lasting effects on building a team and moving forward other than the legal stuff? Obviously.
There's somebody else in the room asking questions. I don't know what just happened.
Our producer, Luis, just asked about Primo's effect on the future, the Primo decisions effect on the future of the.
I mean, you just punted a person you were counting on to be part of all that. So, I mean, it's obviously going to have an effect.
It could have a huge effect in terms of the leadership of the basketball operations. Brian Wright is. He's in a tough spot right now. There's a lot of scrutiny on Brian Wright. Where that leads, I don't know. But suffice it to say, the lawsuit definitely places a lot of scrutiny on Brian Wright.
The other point We're in an era where the Spurs are struggling to get corporate sponsors. Like, they still don't have a new naming rights partner for the arena. Does this sort of thing have an effect on that and people wanting to, you know, attach their name to that? And you think about the one company they were able to land for the jersey patch, Self. Who did they choose to be the face of that?
They hitched their wagon to Josh Primo as their brand ambassador.
Feels like they got burned a little bit. Yeah. So does that? I don't know, but does that make other companies a little skittish about attaching their name to this stuff right now? Does it make it harder to make that sale? I mean, after this is all resolved, maybe that becomes an easier sell. But in the midst of it, I don't know what that looks like.
That all of that is important to consider, interesting to consider, that requires a degree of speculation that might be beyond this podcast. I will say to Luis's question about long-term impact on the court and in rebuilding, a couple of things. First of all, he was the third highest draft pick of the past 25 years that this team has made. Like, the only two players taken higher were Jeremy Sochan and
Devin Vassell.
The NBA is a league of draft picks as currency. Like, we've seen that over the past couple of off seasons. When you want to acquire a star, like, the draft picks are what do it. Like, that's the way a team in a market like San Antonio, which is not one of the top 10 markets in terms of media coverage, in terms of revenue, all that type of stuff in the league, that's how you build. You don't get Kevin Durant's to come here. You don't get Steph Curry's to come sign here. LeBron James's. You go out and draft them. So to that point, like, you basically threw away one of your best ships of this century for nothing. And that could be bad luck because, I mean, Jeff, you profiled Primo when he was signed. You talked to coaches that he'd had in the past that said I think someone pointed this out from one of your first features on him. A coach said, there are no red flags here. Like, that will prevent this kid from becoming everything they hope he's going to become. Like, it could just be bad luck. You know, the Spurs ended up making the right pick in their minds in terms of potential, and it just fell apart. The other way to look at it is, well, you took a risk basketball-wise taking this guy. Yeah. And I realize that draft boards by draft analysts often can be sort of groupthink and aren't a true gauge of how front offices really consider these draft prospects. But based on all those boards, like, Primo was going to be a late first round pick. They took him number 12 overall. That was sort of a leap of faith they were making in Josh Primo. Like,
he's the youngest player in the draft. So how far does he have to go? Like, look at all this room to jump and improve. And he's got so much talent, and that's, you know, he's the youngest guy in the draft. And that's one of the reasons they took him. Like, yes. That was not a drawback. That was part of the appeal.
So that didn't work out. And so that mistake, when you make mistakes like that, it comes back to haunt you eventually, or it has the potential to. So, and then this feeds into, I'm hesitant to get into fallout in terms of people's jobs, things like that. But if you just look at a GM who takes a pick that high and it doesn't work out, if we take the legal stuff completely out of it, like, that doesn't look good.
Yeah.
It could just be bad luck.
By the same token, it's not the first late lottery pick that didn't work out.
Right.
And teams recover from that.
It's just the most it's just the most obvious in terms of a team just having to move on and not getting anything in return, what have you.
Yeah.
Well, if you make a bunch of those, like, those start to pile up.
Again, I mean, the scrutiny is squarely on Brian, not only for the pick, but also the handling of Hillary Cawthon's accusations. So there's no escaping that. And I'm not passing judgment or saying who was right or wrong, but the scrutiny is squarely on him.
Because he's named.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. In the suit. That's it. So that's fair.
It's fair.
Are we winding down here, Luis?
Anything else you want to, Charles Bassey, you want to talk about this guy?
Sure. There's a positive development. I will say this. If Taps allowed the Spurs in this year, I bet they'd win it. I bet they win the title.
Yeah, but well, I don't know.
You don't think they could win the Taps title this year?
I mean, you know, they might tank that too.
Maybe.
They want the first Taps draft pick next year.
Charles Bassey, who 5 years ago, I believe it was 2017, that was the height of the Charles Bassey controversy at St. Anthony's, where they were in Taps. They pulled out of the private school UIL of the state of Texas because they wanted to play this kid who Taps. This is how long ago it was. It's kind of a time capsule type of deal. I was reading a story from that year, and they decided that Bassey, because he moved in to the district late, may or may not have had the proper credentials to compete at St. Anthony's. Taps was saying he wasn't eligible yet. Well, in a story that ran in the Express News that year, the president of Taps, or the person in charge of Taps, had a quote that said he had watched St. Anthony's play Beeville on Periscope and had seen footage of a number 23 that looked like Bassey, and he shouldn't have been playing. And so that was kind of the what is it, when you catch someone red-handed?
The hand in the cookie jar.
The hand in the cookie jar. I'm thinking of another metaphor, but it doesn't matter. Well, it'll come to me later. But that was the flaming, the
smoking gun.
Smoking gun.
The flaming lips.
The flaming lips. The smoking gun was on Periscope. Man, that's quite a ridiculous thing to get upset about. But anyway, that's what was going on. He was caught on Periscope, and then St. Anthony's had to pull out of Taps, join some other outfit. He ended up moving on to high school elsewhere, played at Western Kentucky, all over the place. At that time, he was like listed as one of the top two or three potential draft picks for 2019. Didn't turn out that way. But now he's back on a two-way deal and playing okay.
Playing okay. I mean, he's probably almost literally outgrown the G League. Like, they put him down there and he just goes off for 33 and 15 and 4.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what you do with him at the NBA level, but he's a good guy to have kind of in the program. He played against the second game against the Nuggets, and you know, was active.
Mm-hmm.
8 rebounds in 16 minutes, like that sort of thing.
And some skill there. Like some it's not just a big guy who rebounds and dunks. Like there's something to build on there.
Yeah. Josh Richardson now knows who Charles Bassey is.
That's right. When we were in Minnesota, the day they signed him to a two-way deal, Tom had asked Josh what he knew about Charles Bassey, and it was the most quizzical look I've ever seen in a press conference. He did one for the people on the YouTube, on the Periscope. Maybe we can put this on the Periscope.
Put it on the Periscope.
And for context,
Tom asks him, and Josh gives him one of the, who are you talking about?
Josh played for Boston.
Uh-huh.
Bassey played for Philly. I thought there would be some sense of awareness.
I don't think Bassey played much for Philly.
No, but
20-something games, I think.
Yeah.
I know DeJounte Murray would have a full scout.
DeJounte Murray was scouting that dude at St. Anthony's.
Yeah.
You know, Tom, I watch a lot of basketball.
Yeah.
That was DeJounte Murray's pat answer. But now Josh Richardson knows. And I will say this. Josh Richardson, when you asked him that question, mm-hmm. was not dismissing it, was not saying it was a bad question.
No.
He seemed eager to learn because he understood that even if you're not aware of something.
Here we go.
That even if something is new to you.
You think so?
Yeah. That there can be joy and something to be gained in learning about that, not shutting your mind off to it, but learning about something new.
Do not have contempt before investigation.
Do not have contempt before investigation.
We need to get
investigate.
The more you
know logo. want to learn about something new that might be able to help not only you, but those around you. And who knows, maybe that something new could end up changing your week, your month, your season, your life. And that's what I would implore the listeners and viewers of the Spurs Insider to do until we see you next time. Take care of each other and keep it real.